That was a nice party. Everybody had a good breakfast. That was nice. Now, this morning, for the time at our disposal, I would like to bring just a word of comfort and encouragement to us all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. These verses are well known to us. This scripture is well known. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is the Christ. For in or with one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he has pleased, as has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no breaking or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are body of Christ, members in particular. God has set some in the church, first, apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the greater gifts. And yet I show you more excellent way. May the Lord bless to us, and I'm sure that he will, the reading of his word. Now, we have read of many gifts. There's only one that we're going to talk about, and that is found in verse 28. The gift of helps. That is our subject this morning. Now we are living in a world where everybody wants to be on top. Nobody wants to be on the bottom. We send our children to school and we want them to be this and be that and be the other. Nobody's to be on the bottom. The more philosophy, the greater philosophy, the get up in the world. Story is told concerning William Kelly, that great man of God, a man whom God endowed with much natural ability and, thank the Lord, much spiritual ability. One day someone met him and said, Mr. Kelly, with all that you know, you could really get someplace in the world. And Mr. Kelly looked at him and said, which world? Which world, child of God, do you want to get up in? Helps. From time to time, NASA sends an instrument, a space object up into the air. They will schedule, for example, that that object is to go off on a Tuesday at such and such an hour. Tuesday comes, the hour comes, the weather is favorable, but they don't send it up. Some small thing was out of order. Not a big thing. Some small thing. The importance of small things. Being a help. You know the old fable of the lion and the mouse? The lion was pretty troublesome, disturbing the animals and so forth, and the farmers set a trap for him. And being caught in this trap, the lion roared and roared and roared, upsetting all the animals and all everybody around. Along came a little mouse. Now, the lion had done the mouse a favor some time back. When the lion was sleeping, the mouse ran across his paw, and the lion grabbed him. And that mouse said, "Mr. Lion, if you let me go, there's no telling what I'll be able to do for you." The lion said, "Well, you're fortunate. I'm not hungry. You wouldn't make much of a meal, so go about your business." Here is the lion roaring and roaring, caught in a trap. Along comes this little mouse. He says, "Mr. Lion, please keep still. Let me do my part, and you'll be free." The lion had the strength. That little mouse was a helper. He gnawed here, and he gnawed there, and he gnawed here, and he gnawed there, and the mouse was free. The lion was free. Little things helped in this world. In the course of my work as a surgeon, I selected the help. There are certain people that I wouldn't have work with me. They weren't helpers. And from time to time you read, "Dr. So-and-so performed a great transplant." He didn't do it by himself. He had plenty of help. And good help. And this morning we want to talk about the matter of helping. Those of you who are mechanics, you know that a machine may be out of order. Why? One small screw. Every part is important. Every child of God is important, and we all should be helpers in one way or another. Some time ago, quite a few years ago, we had working with us he was chief of the clinics, the records and so forth. Very pleasant, nice fellow. And this morning he came in all upset. And I said, "Mr. Jones, I've never seen you like this. What's the trouble?" "I sent my son to get a job yesterday, and he came home and told me he couldn't find a job." I said, "Well, you know they're hard to get." He said, "That's not the point. I asked my son, do you have an offer of a job?" I said, "Oh, yes, I had an offer." "What kind of job?" "Cleaning latrines." "Why didn't you take it?" I didn't want to go so low. The father said, "You go out today and you find a job, even if you have to clean the things. No work is too low." All work, Carlyle said, is honorable. I have to be careful how I say this. But one of the troubles in our nation today is we have too many people who work. Work is God's method. You remember the words of Milton? "They also work who only serve and wait." You remember the case of David, and we won't turn to it. When there were certain men that fell out by the way, they weren't strong enough to go on. And when the others came in, they said, "Those men must get nothing." David said, "Nope, it will be not be that way. Those that went to the war and those that stayed home and sent to the war shall be treated alike." Helps, even though you're not in the limelight. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 1. It is not necessary to be in the limelight, but we want to be helps. in our own small sphere. No one may notice you, and no one may know you, but serve as unto the Lord. Helps. John chapter 1, please, verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Now, when you get home, check on that. Find out where Jesus dwelt. He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Now, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," who is being interpreted the Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Now, Peter did all the preaching. 3,000 and 1,000 saved at one sermon. Was Andrew important? All he did was help. He just brought him to Jesus. And so it is. It's not the question of being in the limelight. It's the question of being useful in our own little sphere. John chapter 12. I like this one. Verse 20. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came forth to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, and desired of him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell it to Jesus. And following that, this beautiful dissertation about a grain of wheat dying. He was a helper. Not out in the limelight, just helping. Turn back to John chapter 1, please. Verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. He finds Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law did speak," and so forth and so forth. Philip, another one. Now turn to chapter 14 of John. This Philip was never in the limelight. Chapter 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And you know the remainder, the beautiful dissertation that the Lord gave because Philip just answered the question. He admitted that he didn't know. Now that reminds me of a certain brother down in the island of Jamaica. At school, the teacher presented them a certain problem in mathematics, a little difficult. And when he finished, he said, "Does everyone understand?" This one brother raised his hand, didn't understand. He went over it again, that is the instructor. "Does everybody understand?" This one fellow raised his hand, didn't understand. He went over it again. "Does everybody understand?" And this particular brother understood. Do you know what they said to him, his classmates, when he got outside? "We are so glad you raised your hand because we didn't understand either." I'm glad that Philip asked that question. I'm glad that he asked that question. But now let's proceed. And what we are going to do is just look at certain individuals without too much comment to see how in their humble way they were helpers. The lesson being, beloved, whatever is your assignment, do it. You may not be on the platform. You'd be surprised what it means to be on the platform. I like to sit and listen. It's a great responsibility. But the platform man cannot do much without the help of other believers in prayer and in sustenance and so forth. Now turn with me. Oh, let's see. Where shall we start? Romans chapter 16. Helps. Believers as helps. Romans 16. Tell you what I'm going to do. Make it Acts chapter 18. I want to save time because I see my time here. And this, you know, you could spend a couple of hours on this subject, but we can't do that. So Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul cometh from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now let's pause for just a minute. What scriptures did he have? Old Testament. Child of God, are you mighty in the Old Testament? This man was. This man, verse 25, was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, isn't that nice? Took him in the house. Now, Apollos, you're not quite up to date. And they taught him. They were helps. Now, notice what follows. Verse 27. When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them very much which had believed through grace. Now, he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Who taught him that? He didn't know it before he met Aquila and Priscilla. They were helps in the home, and this man of God was sent on with a more powerful message. Now, it is agreed by those who know that the epistle to the Romans is perhaps the greatest piece of work in any language on logic, the scientific method, and on law. Greatest piece of argumentation anywhere in the world, the epistle to the Romans. Who wrote the epistle to the Romans? Romans 16. I know it's Paul's epistle to the Romans, but who wrote it? Romans chapter 16. Verse 22. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. You recall that Paul had an illness, as he suggests in Galatians, and apparently interfered with his sight. He received a message from God, but Tertius wrote it. Don't you wish you were Tertius? Now, who was Tertius? What does the Bible tell us about it? Nothing. This is all it says about it. But he was a help. We don't know a thing about him, but I'm sure God does. And at the right time, he'll get the right recognition. Now, child of God, you may not get all the recognition that you should get. Don't let it bother you. The day is coming when you will get recognition. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Start at verse 16. Helps. Just helping. You don't have to be known. You don't have to be famous or popular. Just help. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 18. Thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Titus is mentioned. Indeed, he accepted the exhortation, and being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. Now, we have sent with Titus the brother. And that's all we know about him. The brother, whose fame is in the gospel, and the Lord doesn't tell us what his name is, but he went along as a helper. Verse 22. Also we have sent with them our brother. This is another brother. And he is not named. Do you think the Lord knew who he was and what he did and that he would get his reward? The point I want to make is this, beloved. You may not be even appreciated by your fellow believers. If you're serving the Lord, serve the Lord. He knows. You're not working for man. Verse 24 or 23. Whether they do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren. They're not named. Titus is named. They are messengers of the churches. Wherefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love. The brother. Are you just a brother? A sister? Be satisfied. Just help in the work. Now let's turn again. There's so many. Oh, Acts chapter 13, since we're here. There are so many instances in the Word of God where the name of the person is not given, but God recognizes it. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. We could spend some time on that, but we won't. There is to be no one-man ministry, but that's another subject. In that church, there were prophets and teachers. Now, the names. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Five prophets and teachers. The Bible tells us about Barnabas, and the Bible tells us about Saul, whose name was later Paul. What about the other three? They were prophets and teachers. The Bible doesn't say anything about them. But God knows them, and God knows you. I want to repeat, beloved, the idea is to help. Don't seek fame down here. Your name is written up there. You'll get yours at the judgment seat of Christ. Judges chapter 13. Unnamed heroes. Judges chapter 13. Oh, you know this well. Verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His name is given. What was his wife's name? What was his wife's name? It doesn't say. I'll tell you one thing. Now, you read all those chapters, read through the chapter and the next chapter. Do you know that she was far more spiritual than Manoah? Far greater spiritual insight than Manoah had, but the Lord doesn't give her name. Now, they may not know your name. Maybe you feel that you're slighted in the assembly. Don't worry about it. God knows. Just be a help. 2 Kings chapter 5. You find a similar thing. Many a sermon has been preached from this. Many a sermon. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. What was her name? What was her age? Doesn't say. Did she help? Let's read on. She said to her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. Did he recover him? Yes. Through the instrumentality of the maid, but what was her name? You think God knows? You think he has it recorded? Again, I say, child of God, you may seem insignificant to believers around. Don't worry about it. You're not serving believers, you're serving God. And I have a feeling, a strong feeling, that at the judgment seat of Christ, many of us who stand on this platform, we're going to be put to shame by some of his sisters who don't stand on the platform. I really believe that. So be encouraged. Keep working, even though you're not recognized and your name may not be known. Acts chapter 23. Now, some of you are going to say, well, since you're turning to all these scriptures, why didn't you start at Genesis and turn in order? I'm going to tell you why. Have you ever, in the spring or a lovely summer day, walked through a tree-lined street, beautiful trees on either side? Sometimes they come together and form an arch. And as you walk along, the wind blows through those leaves, and if you listen carefully, you'll hear music. And then the wind blows on the other side, and you'll hear an answer from that side to the first side. It's a beautiful experience. If you have not experienced it, please go out there and listen to the sounds and the music from the leaves. When we turn the pages of this Bible, that's the impression I get, music. That's why I turn from scripture to scripture in disorder, so that we can hear the music of those pages. Don't they sound nice to you? A group of believers sitting together, turning the pages of the Bible. That's music. And it's wonderful music. And as we said yesterday, especially young people, get in the habit. Turn those pages. Everything is not on one page. Turn them. You'll be thrilled, you'll be delighted, and you will learn. But now we come to Acts chapter 23, I said. Verse 12. When it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And get rid of this man. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse or oath that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. We've got to get rid of this man. Oh, by the way, beloved, I think I mentioned yesterday, do you know that there are those, not somewhere far away, right around us, who want to get rid of us? Now, if you don't know that, please look into it. There are those who say we are hindering their program. And the only way their program will succeed is they have to kill us. Now, don't get too upset, because before they can get to kill us, the Lord is going to take us to heaven. They can have it all for themselves. However, we continue. Verse 15. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, before he comes, are ready to kill him. 16. When Paul's sister's son, that's the nephew of Paul, heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Now you can read the rest. He saved Paul's life. What was his name? Was he a help? A great help. But unknown so far as his... What was his age? What is he like? How much did he know? He was a help. This is what I'm getting at, beloved. We need to be helps in the service of the Lord. We don't need recognition. We need to work. The recognition will come later. We all know about the woman at the well of Sychar. What was her name? Anybody? But the Lord knows. Again, I repeat, I'm concerned only with getting to one point. Be a help. And don't look at the next person and worry about the next person. You do what God would have you to do. We are responsible to Him. Genesis chapter 24. See, we're going back again. Although I don't hear the pages turning. Now you listen carefully one day and see if you don't find that that's music as these leaves turn. Even your own Bible at home, turning the pages, music. Genesis chapter 24. Verse 2. Abraham, now we know his name, don't we? Said unto his eldest servant of his house, and we don't know his name. His name was not Eliezer. We don't know the servant's name. It's an interesting chapter, beloved. I'll just give you a little note I have in my Bible. In this chapter, the word master occurs 23 times. And the word servant occurs 15 times. This is the great master-servant relationship. Interestingly enough, as a servant, this is just an aside. Abraham told his servant exactly what he wanted him to do. There is one thing that Abraham did not tell that servant, but the servant did it. He prayed. Check that out when you go home. Abraham's servant helped in a marvelous way. He was very dutiful, and he was also a God-fearing man. His name, I don't know. God hasn't been pleased to tell us his name. It is not important that we know each other's name. It's important that he knows. I wish I could get this point across. I find so many believers are discouraged. They don't recognize me. I don't count for anything. Keep working. You do count. You count before God himself. Time is just about up. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? What was his name? Philip went down. We know Philip. What was the eunuch's name? Philip was a help to the eunuch. While we're at it, 2 Kings, chapter 4. We can kill, as they say, two birds with one stone in this. 2 Kings, chapter 4. Oh, I'm beginning to hear those pages turn. It sounds good. Now, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. It fell on the day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman, the only woman in the Bible who is called great. Now, you take this with what we saw yesterday. This book is not against women. God recognizes greatness in women as well as in men. But that's not the point. And she constrained him to eat bread. It was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth before us. She knows not only great in temporal things, she had spiritual greatness, spiritual insight. Oh, by the way, what was her name? The Bible doesn't say. Sisters, you may not be well known. You may not even be appreciated. But some of you have great spiritual insight. Remember Abigail? She saved her husband's life. Nothing like a great partner in life. Sisters, the Bible has much to say of good about the sisters, but the name was not given. And I think in my own life of some great sisters, great in their own way. Now, you will pardon my description, but I'm thinking now of a sister who, by all means, was absolutely homely. The way we use the word today, not the way Solomon used it. You pardon me again? I mean no disrespect. I love that sister. She's now with the Lord. She was absolutely ugly on the outside. From time to time, because she had both legs amputated, she would ask me to visit her in the home. And I would get there, and she would say to me, "Brother, sit down. I have a word for you." And she did. And when she finished, she would close that big family Bible and say, "Now you can proceed." Oh, sisters, you have a wonderful, wonderful place to play. This platform is not the place. Most souls are won in private. I think of another sister who would be twin to the first one in physical appearance. And the brother told me this himself. They were having a campaign in the city of Baltimore. He was on his front porch. He knew what was going on. There was a tent meeting there. And he saw this sister coming up, struggling. She had one leg shorter than the other, and she sort of limped. And he said to himself, "I'm going to have some fun with that woman." And she approached with her limp, came up the stairs, and approached him. Well, notice the approach, beloved, though that's so important. "Young man," she said, "you are too fine a looking man to die and go to hell." Now, he told me this. 2 hours later, on that same porch, he was on his knees asking God to save him. Oh, sisters, you don't have to be famous. Just be a help. Jesus bids us shine in our own little corner. A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. You say, "I am only one. I can't do everything, you're not supposed to, but I can do something." Are you doing what you can do, beloved child of God? Because I can't do everything, I will not refuse to do something, and I'll do what I can. I have 5 minutes. Now, you know I like to read poetry, so I'm going to read you one about, you've heard this track before. These four brothers who weren't helps at all, Fred somebody, Thomas everybody, Peter anybody, and Joe nobody. They were neighbors, and they belonged to the same assembly. But you wouldn't have enjoyed being with them. Everybody went fishing on Sunday, or he stayed at home with friends. Anybody wanted to worship, but he was afraid that somebody wouldn't speak to him, so he stayed home. Really, nobody was the only decent one of the four. Nobody did the visitation. Nobody worked on the church building. Once they needed a Sunday school teacher. Everybody thought that anybody would do it, and anybody thought somebody would do it, and who do you think did it? Nobody. It happened that a fifth neighbor came into the neighborhood, an unbeliever. Everybody thought that somebody should try to win him for Christ. Anybody could have made an effort, and you know who led him to Christ? Nobody. Oh, child of God, stop looking at the other people and do what God has given you to do. 3 minutes. I'll read another one. By the way, we read in 2 Corinthians where Paul says he's known and unknown. And that should be true of us. Known and unknown. Your name may not appear down here in this world's Hall of Fame. You're going to have one in the Bronx, New York, Hall of Fame. I'm tempted, but I won't. I want to tell you, young people, don't you join anything. See? Don't join anything. Now, if in school you are selected for honor, that's something else. You're not joining. They're asking to be in. You are already a member of the highest society in the universe. You believe that? You're a child of God. No need to join anything. Can't go any further. Your name may not appear in this world's hall of fame. In fact, you may be so unknown that no one knows your name. That's all right. The Oscars may have passed you by and neon lights have bloomed. But if you love and serve the Lord, then I have news for you. Earth's hall of fame is only good as long as time shall be. But keep in mind, God's hall of fame is for eternity. To have your name inscribed up there is greater yet by far than all the halls of fame down here and every man made star. This crowd on earth will soon forget the heroes of the past. How many of you remember Babe Ruth? Few. He's forgotten for the most part. Lou Gehrig. I remember as a boy, I saw each of them hit two home runs in the same game. But I don't worry about them too much. They're not important. This crowd on earth will soon forget the heroes of the past. They cheer like mad until you fall, and that's how long you last. But God, He never forgets. And in His hall of fame, by just believing in His Son inscribed, you'll find your name. I tell you, friend, I wouldn't trade my name, however small, that's written there beyond the stars in that celestial hall, for every famous name on earth or glory that they share, I'd rather be unknown here and have my name up there. Child of God, be encouraged. Be of help in the service of the Lord. The Lord bless you.